The poet Ogden Nash would have been 100 today. He was one of America's best-known versifiers when people read light verse, and he was the master of the five-second zinger. His poem, The Kitten, for example. The trouble with a kitten is that, eventually, it becomes a cat. Or the eel. I don't mind eels, except as meals and the way they feels. Linnell Nash Smith is his oldest daughter.
My dad, I think, always was terrified that the one poem that he had written that would be put on his tombstone was, "Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker." And we didn't do that to him. The funny part about that poem is that people don't really credit him with it anymore. It's sort of part of the culture, I guess.
What Ogden Nash saw in the culture was mostly absurdity leavened by human frailty. In the poet's honor, a postage stamp comes out today, and Ogden Nash may be the only famous poet whose work would actually fit on a stamp.
There are a number of Ogden Nash's poems on this new stamp. As a matter of fact, it's going to be the smallest book of poems ever printed.
There'll be several stamps, each one with a poem?
No, there's one stamp with a lot of poems. Now, you need a magnifying glass to read them, but they're all there. There are at least six, I think, maybe more than that. I think there are eight, actually.
But a few poems,
yes,
right on the,
yes,
stamp.
Yes, absolutely.
Would you like to recite one of them?
Well, an obvious one that can stick in my mind, because my mind is beginning to fail, is The Cow. The cow is of the bovine ilk. One end is moo, the other milk. And I think probably he had the fly, too. God in his wisdom made the fly and then forgot to tell us why.
There's a sense of absurdity. There's whimsy. One critic for the New York Times a long time ago described him as magnificently and fundamentally unsound. So he did not take his poetry, or I would think himself either, terribly seriously, if you go by some of the things he said about himself. For one thing, he called himself a worsifier rather than a versifier. Yeah. And is probably the most famous thing he said along these lines was, "I'd rather be a great bad poet than a bad good poet."
He cared terribly about his work. He did not just toss these bad poems off. My dad knew the basics of writing, and that's when he could take off and tease it. Of course, his favorite subjects were family subjects, I think, truthfully. And I think that both Isabel, my sister, and I were pretty much unaware that he was writing about us. And when we became aware of it, it was a very upsetting thought that other people were reading it. Now, if he read these things to us and we just thought they were en famille, that was fine. But my gosh, if it was going out over the airwaves, as sometimes it did when he was on the Guy Lombardo show, or if it was going over the print media, it suddenly became important to us that he not write things that would embarrass us.
Because you, tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I'm guessing that you discovered that he was writing about you approximately when you were an adolescent, which,
yes,
is exactly the time you don't want anyone to know anything about
anything
you.
Anything about you
And
at
he probably
all.
Had you nailed.
That was the awful part. Okay, here's the one that got me. It's called "Tarkington, Thou Shouldst Be Living in This Hour." And I will preface it by saying I was 15. I was 5'9½". I was a string bean. I was terrified of being noticed. And this is my father's poem about such. "O adolescence, O adolescence, I wince before thine incandescence. Thy constitution, young and hearty, is too much for this aged party. Thou standest with loafer-flattened feet where bras and funny papers meet. When anxious elders swarm about, crying, 'Where are you going?' thou answerest, 'Out,' leaving thy parents swamped in debts for bubblegum and cigarettes. Thou spurnest in no uncertain tone the sirloin for the ice cream cone. Not milk, but cola is thy potion. Thou wearest earrings in the ocean, blue jeans at dinner, or maybe shorts and lipstick on the tennis courts. Forever thou whisperest two by two of who is madly in love with who." And then, of course, telling about your beau that you were absolutely smitten by and having it all over the beach the next day.
Ogden Nash recorded many of his longer poems, here reading the last half of A Child's Guide to Parents.
The wise child handles father and mother by playing one against the other. Don't, cries this parent to the tot. The opposite parent asks, why not? Let baby listen, nothing loath, and work impartially on both. In clash of wills, do not give in. Good parents are made by discipline. Remember the words of the wise old senator. Spare the tantrum and spoil the progenitor. But joy in heaping measure comes to children whose parents are under their thumbs.
Was he a really good dad?
He was a wonderful father. He was just amazing. He was constantly, seeming at least, to be completely interested in my sister and I. In my sister and me, my gosh, he would kill me. He never seemed to be too busy for us. And we felt so loved and so secure and safe.
And did he think of himself as a sort of a funny man? Or did he see humor as something a little bit more skewed than that? I mean,
I think he saw it a little bit more skewed. He loved puns and things like that. And if he and Sid Perelman would get together, for instance, it was like a game of tennis. It was wonderful. They would just throw these things back and forth and we'd all be in howls of laughter. But Daddy wasn't like that by himself. He was quietly humorous. He would say something that was really funny, but kind of kind and funny at the same time. The bite wasn't there when he was...
He, in the very last, you know, days of his life, he spoke at a commencement for his granddaughter.
Yes, he did. And he was speaking. It was in 1970, so it was the year before he died. And he was speaking about American humor and how important it was for people today and throughout the ages to have humor because it was a shield. And one of the things that he said... was he wanted to inspire laughter, not laughs. He said, humor is not brash, it's not cheap, it's not heartless. Among other things, it is a shield, a weapon, a survival kit. So here we are, several million of us, crowded into our global concentration camp for the duration. How are we to survive? Solemnity is not the answer, any more than witless and irresponsible frivolousness. I think our best chance, a good chance, lies in humor. Which in this case means a wry acceptance of our predicament.
Linnell Nash Smith remembering her father, Ogden Nash. In celebration of his 100th birthday, the post office is now offering his lighter verse on a stamp.
What do you think he would have made of the fact that he's ended up on a stamp?
I think it would have made up for not getting the Pulitzer. I really do.